Amen. What a confession of faith. Amen. That has become so much more real to us. Amen. We have seen our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know that we came from God. We were there before the foundation of the world. Amen. I must say that I'm certainly being blessed to be here with you over these days. And, you know, I've come to know you and come to love you and appreciate you. Preach the word to you. See the quality of spirit within you. See the word, you know, it shows what we are. Shows who we are. You know, people can be religious. People can be pious. People can confess the love of God and all these things. But when the word comes forth, you know what kind of spirit is inside of you. Amen. Or when you see a heart that could submit to the word, sometimes it cuts you to pieces, friends. Sometimes it skins you, but that is how we took that message the other night. They had to flay the bullock. They had to skin it, to expose it from the inside and the outside, to make sure it was free from blemish. They had to take their head and examine it to make sure you have no private interpretations, none of your own thoughts, exalting your knowledge above the word. Have to expose the insides. See what kind of desires inside of you. See with the holy man taste. See with the desire to see the word live inside of you. Amen. See what kind of feet you have. Whether you walk in the course of this world. Whether you walk in the vanity of your mind. Or whether you walk in light as he's in the light. Whether you walk worthy of your vocation. Walk before him and be perfect. And then the fact. Amen. To love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Amen. Then that will labor for him. Then that will use your strength into his service. Amen. Brother Bram tells the story about the little girl, how she was an orphan. She had to take care of all her little brothers and sisters. And she had to wash, she had to cook, she had to iron. But she was so devoted, she loved them. She saw how daddy and mommy tried to raise them the right way. And she picked up pneumonia, trying to take care of them, doing all the work and everything else. And she lay there dying. And the religious pious Sunday school teacher came, you know, and says, you know, well, you never used to come to Sunday school. You know, you never used to come to church. Well, what are you going to tell the Lord now? Now that you're going to die, you're going to be lost. He said, I'll show you my hands. He'll understand. Amen. Amen. And sometimes, you know, not our works, but works that we do in appreciation for his grace. We see his grace. His love has touched our hearts. We want to make ourselves available to him. We see the life that the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. You know, friends, many people saw the Brother Bram on the platform. It thrilled them. They saw how he commanded devils. They saw how he preached the word power and indicted this generation. Oh, people wanted to kind of pattern after that. But then they failed to see when he would say, I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't even drink any water. I'd go out in the desert and wait before God. He said, Lord, I want something deeper than a healing revival. Amen. When you make one mistake there, you know, in weakness, in time of stress and strain, and you tell his wife, he says, look, tell the man I'm not here. And when the Holy Spirit convict him, he went up in the bush and said, Lord, if you forgive me, pass by. He was so repentant. He would come and cry. He says, I tried to read it. He said, I can't read the scriptures because he said, I cried over his Bible so many times. The tears just wash away the writing. And it was that kind of sacrificial life that God is able to come down. Amen. See? Like God told Elijah, go and hide yourself. And then he says, show yourself. Amen. Sometimes we want to show ourselves. But sometimes that's the time God wants us to hide ourselves. Amen. It's only them who live with him in secret. God can do something in present. He's not trying to hug the limelight. He's not trying to get attention of people. He's not trying to attain to worldly ambitions or establish ourselves in the hearts of people. But he that wants to be the greatest, let him be the least. And serve. He became a foot wash flunky. When Peter saw the God of heaven, he had a revelation that was Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Lord, you can wash my feet. He was struck with the humility. Jesus turned around and tell him when they were trying to argue who was going to be the greatest among them. He says, don't be like the Gentiles trying to exercise lordship over each other. He says, let him that want to be the greatest become the least and serve. May as we close this meeting that when we get ready to leave, to go back to our homes, God, give us something special. Amen. The last day, great day of the feast, Jesus said, he that is athirst, let him come. Look at Brother Brahma on that seventh seal. He said, he that is a thirst, let him come and drink. And friends, may we come purpose in our hearts this evening, as the heart panted after the water brook, so do my soul panted after thee, O God, the living God. Not a, we don't want a historical God. We want a living God. We want a living God today. The 4th or the 3rd, whatever it is, of April 1994. We want a God today. This evening, right here, this time here. 25 past 2. We want a God here present with us here. That God, the I am that I am. And I believe he's here where two or three gathered. We have felt his presence. He spoke to our hearts. And I pray as we enter into this last service. I think I need a little time. I don't know how long we have. I need maybe a few extra minutes this evening, because I want to sort of not finish up. I doubt I'll ever be able to finish up, but at least, you know, fill in some of the places with that robe that we've been speaking about, that it would help us. When God, you know, opened up these things to me recently, I sensed my heart, the Holy Spirit was moving us into the resurrection in a deeper way, in a closer way. All along we know there's going to be a resurrection. All along we know the shout, voice, and trump, the threefold mystery, the seventh seal. But then it began to get refined, begin to open up and give us a deeper insight. Because remember, saints, you have to know what the Holy Ghost is, what it does, what results it brings, before you can know what you receive when you receive it. You have to know you have to know the way into the holiest, to know how you have to come at the altar and identify yourself, how you have to wash and deliver, how you have to eat at the table of shewbread, how you have to have the testimony, the light of the candlesticks, how you have to be at the altar of incense, where you pray and worship God, and then how you have to go beyond the veil of self-will into the innermost, at the mercy seat. Before you can get there, there's a way, a provided way, to get into it. And so we realized that, you know, Brother Branham, he was going to come into a great temple ministry, but God didn't reveal everything at one time. He said, I had to let go of the first pole to get the second. He said, I had to step up by faith. I had to let go of the second to get the third. See? And he said, that's why I am here in these meetings. I'm preaching. But while I'm preaching, my mind is upon him, watching to see what he's going to anoint, where to put the emphasis, what to do, depending upon him for the word. Because I believe he is here with us. I believe he knows best. He knows what you'll be facing next 2 months. And he knows if a little part of the puzzle in your life to put it together, to bring you that perfect faith, need to be spoken here. He can take my vocal cords and speak up, he can take my mind and put it in a certain scripture, make me speak it. And when that time comes, you can draw back into it and say, Lord, you spoke to me in that meeting. That day I came, prayed up, expecting to hear from you. You spoke to me. Let us have that desire in our heart this evening as we come. He has blessed us. He's been with us. And now we come to the last service. And may he give us, as our brother said, the best wine for last. May he really give us something special that will help us in the days to come. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts before you, dear God, Lord, and we bow in humility, we bow in sincerity, we examine our lives as we stand in your presence, we take inventory of ourselves, we check our motives, we check our objectives, we see what our ambitions are, dear God, we see Jesus standing before us, we see his life, we see his dedication, his consecration, we see the wave sheaf that was waved, that revealed Christ just in this hour. We see, Lord God, what we need to walk in still at this present moment, that we might be more like you. And dear God, we come confessing our sins, confessing our shortcomings, praying, dear God, tonight as we sit in your presence, the Holy Spirit would speak to you expressly. You would take the word and break the bread in such a way as only you can break it, Father, that you will make yourself known in the breaking of the bread, that our eyes, our spiritual understanding would be enlightened by the entrance of your word. And dear God, it will bring such illumination, it will bring such inspiration to our hearts that the things of this world will just fade away and will draw us into a deeper life, into a greater faith in this hour. Gracious Father, I pray, Lord, as you have blessed us in these services, as we have sat in your presence and you have done great things for us, how we look to you now, Father, this closing meeting. And Lord, you will just speak to us in a special way, dear God. And Father, this great revelation of the rapture, this thing that is preparing us for your coming, O God. Lord, this that is opening up this great mystery, that our lives can enter into a greater faith, Lord, a more spiritual realm, a more consecrated life, Lord, a more humble life, a more sincere life. Oh, God, may you grant it tonight. Lord, let the world just be, the powers and the influences will be broken from around our lives and be driven so far away from us. And our souls, dear God, so charged with your presence. May you grant it, Lord. Filter our thinking, Lord. Let us have such a holy man taste to see the word prophesied for this hour be confirmed in our lives. Grant it, Lord. You know the desire of our hearts. We want to love you and serve you and please you. We want to love our brothers and our sisters, Lord. We just want to be loved slaves, prisoners of Jesus Christ this hour. We know your great achievement is our preeminence in your bride. Lord, that you can walk in our feet and speak through our lips and think with our mind, work with our hands, believe with our heart that we can become the manifested epistle read of all men, dear God. Lord, we desire to be that, to hear you say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. May you grant it, Lord. We submit ourselves unto you in the fear of God. Bless your word and send it forth. Undertake for us in this service now as we look to you. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. We want to begin Genesis chapter 2. We can try to go from Genesis to Revelation this evening and really try to see how God will lead us with this. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. You know, in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God made man and gave him dominion. Made him male and female, created he them. But yet they were expressed in one body. Both Adam and Eve was in one body. And then Genesis 2, 7, it said, had no man to till the soil. And God brought physical man and spiritual man, entered into that physical body. God gave him five senses to contact this three dimensions. And then Genesis 2:18 to 24, we see God taking a rib from man, the feminine spirit, and taking out the feminine spirit as well and making a helpmeet unto him. And verse 25, it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. See, they didn't know that they were naked before, but that is of clothes, and now they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? You see, eating from that tree was what was responsible for them coming to the knowledge that they were naked. See? And the man, okay, just let's drop from there to verse 20 and 21, because from 12 to 19, you know, God come down an investigation judgment, and then he begins to execute judgment. after the investigation. And verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was mother of all living. For Adam also and for his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. And also I'd like to you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his holy angels. And let's just drop down to verse 17, this Laodicea age here, this last age. They had said how those rich and increased goods have given nothing, but here God now says, because thou seest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So here's the church naked and don't know it. See, Adam and Eve was naked and didn't know it. But here, 6,000 years afterwards, this last day church is naked and don't know it too. But they are veiled with a different veil that Adam and Eve was veiled with. See, to show it has come to a complete perversion of the original. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, not as many as love me, but as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And the prophet said, they have zeal to do everything today. Zeal to give out books, tracts, preach, do everything, but no zeal to repent. But the zeal of the age is to repent. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, take these words now and open them up to us. Put our hearts and minds in the channel, dear God, where we can be anointed with spiritual understanding and receive the insight that the Spirit desires to give us, that we might walk into a greater faith. May that dove, the Holy Spirit, lead us into a faith we have never known, Lord, that perfect raptured faith. Grant it, Lord, we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Now, as we look at this, and we've been trying to bring to you in the past few services, and I trust that, you know, you have been grasping, because we have had some very precious messages, and our brother preaching the 8th day, the sword of the Lord, the Jubilee, the bride's Passover feast, all these things in the scriptures that might bring us to an awareness of the day that we are living in and what is happening in this day, that we can see the events and the things that have taken place through the eyes of the scriptures, that we can understand that we are not just coming to church, it's something taking place in the economy of God. And we've been called to participate, to partake of this great thing that's happening. And I've been speaking to you, and I spoke to you there on the Master is come and call it for thee Wednesday night, many local people was there. And, you know, identifying the presence of Jesus Christ and then coming back, God requires a burnt offering in the harvest time. And then the robe that we must wear at the wedding supper and bring forth that best robe last night, showing that there is a robe, there is something that we are to be clothed with for the world that we are going to. This world is going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. See, this whole civilization, this sand civilization is to pass away. When we come back to the millennium, there will be no more winters. There will be no more motor cars, no more aeroplanes. We'll be going back to a different type of civilization. And as we look in the Bible, we see in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that there was a faith civilization. In that civilization, had no motor cars. In that civilization, it didn't have no aeroplanes and no bombs and no wars. And it was a different type of civilization. It was an Eden that God saw it was good. They didn't even wear natural clothes like this in that civilization. We see from the Bible that that came from the fall. Amen. They were in a dispensation of innocence. And as God, sending his prophet in this day, opened up to us the seven seals, he took us beyond this civilization to show unto us the type of world that existed before this world came. Today, everything is being destroyed. The rivers are polluted. The oceans are polluted. The heavens are polluted. All the trees are being cut down to do what? To build this type of civilization. And it brings more and more debt all the time. Back then, Eden didn't have no hospitals. They didn't need them. See, Adam had perfect health. See, he was not going to grow old. He had perfect youth. You see, he wasn't dying. They had no... The atmosphere was just right. Had no winters. He didn't even have rain back there. Bible says a mist came out of the earth and watered the ground. And so we see then that because of the fall, how nature, everything was interrupted. Its normal course, normal pattern. And then Cain trying to bypass the curse. Because the first curse came, God put on the ground. Cursed be the ground. See? And, you know, when he cursed the ground there, he said it will not bring forth yield. Later on, when Cain killed Abel, God cursed the ground again. And man trying to bypass the blessing began to work in science. Cain went out from the presence of God and he began to build a city. And so, this man-made type of civilization began to come. Now at the end of 6,000 years, we see the whole planet is being destroyed. All the environment is being destroyed. Why? Man has rearranged the molecules. Man have tried to have tampered with nature. And they cut down the trees and, you know, storms take them. They dam up the rivers and floods take them. They throw all kinds of things into the ocean and they pollute the ocean. Now the fishes are dying, everything. The birds, they destroy the natural habitat of the birds and that is dying as well. And we see the whole world is again falling apart. And Jesus having an insight that just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. He spoke and he showed what was going to bring the end of the world was going to be a disturbance of nature. There'll be signs in the heaven, signs in the earth, signs in the sea. And we see it today to know that we see the flashing red lights of the sign of his coming and the end of the world. We know we are at the end time. And this great revelation that the Holy Spirit has come in this message and opened up to us that God by a prophet came and performed a sign to show to us that that was scriptural. What we were seeing wasn't a great evangelist with a gift. What we were seeing was the prophesied promise being scripturally identified that we can know we are living in the last junction before the millennium. He would take Genesis 18. He would turn his back to the people. He would discern their heart. He would show them in the scripture where Jesus promised that in St. Luke 17:30 that was the last sign before the Gentile world was burned with fire and before the change of the body. And look at Abraham. Abraham was a man who was called out, a heathen. And he started to walk with God as a heathen. And that man walking under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, coming out of Babylon, just shall live by faith, walking by faith. And he came to justification, Genesis 12, came to sanctification, Genesis 15, came with the Holy Spirit, Genesis 17, Genesis 18, God coming before a man in human flesh, discerned the heart before the sign. Is that right? Then give them a promise, I will return according to the time of life, come back around them, to them. Sarah received strength to conceive seed. She wasn't laughing then. Amen. And there was change and there was restored back to the youth. That man who was a heathen came through those different stages of his walk with God and walked right into a new body. Abraham came and had an experience with Jehovah Jireh and saw the spoken word create a ram on the mountain. Abraham went and received communion from Melchizedek after the battle was over, a type of the wedding supper. Aren't we promised the spoken word? The thing that will start the rapture in faith and the going away? Aren't we promised that there is going to be a wedding supper? Aren't we promised that we're going to have a new body? All those things in Abraham typed out in Abraham
And God, the same way he has dealt with Abraham, has dealt with Abraham's seed after him. Look at the church level. Luther came up by faith. Genesis 12, Wesley, Genesis 15, sanctification through the blood. God confirming the covenant. The Pentecost of receiving the Holy Ghost, Genesis 17. Genesis 18, in this age, God in human flesh, the Son of Man, the judge of all the earth, coming on the scene, performing the last sign, showing us where we are according to the age. And then as an individual, we've come to justification, we've come to sanctification, we've come to the new birth. Now we're coming to adoption, where we're going to receive the full redemption of this body, a new body. Amen. So from the scripture we see where we are placed positionally and what is happening. If we fail to understand what those things were, if it is only a sign that was not accompanied by a voice, then it'll just be a nice miracle. But God was interested that the church was not going to be left without understanding. So the prophet went to the word and showed to us, this is not just an ordinary miracle. He was posting us that we can know positionally what junction of time we were at and to see what was being fulfilled in that time and to recognize our type in the Bible and to know we are the antitype to those very things today. And when we see what they went into after that sign, we know what we are to go into after this sign. And you know, in every age, people have to die to go to heaven. And in every age, people have to die to go to hell. But the Bible spoke of an age where people wouldn't have to die to go to heaven. Neither would they have to die to go to hell. Because the Bible, in the book of Revelation, prophesied that in this last day, heaven was going to be open and hell was going to be open. And those demon spirits of hell was going to come here and the two realms were going to unite. And look at the prophet and the message souls that are in prison now. He said, hell is being created on the earth now. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to be go back to the regions of the lost to see the doom. He was seeing them on the earth in that very hour. And think of what he saw in 1963. Look what we have seen in 1994. What if he was seeing the things we were seeing? He saw it in his infancy. Now coming out. Amen. And then you see then that the Bible shows that the age coming. Paul said, we who are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord. See? He said, we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Is that right? Speaking about the living ones. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. Speaking about those who died. Showing them two groups there. Amen. It was going to be there in the last days. So here, yeah, this age has arrived, friend. This is the age. This is the age the Bible was speaking of. That there will be people who are alive that's going to take the rapture in this age. Amen. And to take the rapture, as you've been showing, to change dimensions, we have to be changing our body first. That's what it hangs on. It hangs on this body being changed. Because right now there is something from the curse since the fall is still here with this body. But because we are in this age, and because this is the message that is preparing us, this message is going to unlock us from this dimensional prison. This message is going to free us from this prison, amen. This message is going to change our atoms, amen, as we walk in this message. Just like Abraham walked into a new body. So we're going to walk. Just like Abraham received the communion from Melchizedek. So we're going to receive it. Amen. See, God typed it in Genesis. Enoch's translation was a type of the rapture, the seventh from the first Adam, was a type of the second from the seventh Adam, the second Adam, rather, that's going to be taken up. Abraham, youth restored in Genesis, showing we coming back young again. Amen. Abraham receiving communion in Genesis, showing the wedding supper. Rebecca, watering the camel that packed to meet the unseen bridegroom, showed it right there also. Joseph dismissing his wife to the palace, showed it in Genesis also. So that rapture was a revelation laying there, and if it is in Genesis, it must be in Revelation. Because Genesis is the seed Bible. It's the seed chapter of the Bible. Whatever is in Genesis, Genesis is genes. G-E-N-E-S, genes. Genes is seed. God put every seed in his field that's going to come to harvest in the last days. If there's an Eliezer who got a Rebekah in Genesis, there's going to be an Eliezer who got a Rebekah in Revelation. Amen. And bring her to me to Isaac. If there was a Joseph who revealed himself to his brothers after his wife was dismissed to the palace in Genesis, there's going to be one. If there's a Gentile world that's burning fire after the Son of Man is revealed in Genesis, there's going to be a Gentile world burning fire after the Son of Man is revealed in Revelation. If there's an Enoch in Genesis went up in the rapture, there'll be an Enoch in Revelation goes up in the rapture. Amen. If there's a scientific age that was destroyed by atomic explosion in Genesis, there'll be a scientific age destroyed by atomic explosion here. If there's a perversion of all flesh, if there's a Tower of Babel back there with a mystery Nimrod over it, causing the whole world to bow to it, there'll be a mystery Nimrod back here with a mystery Babylon causing the whole world to bow to it. You see, that is why Jesus could prophesy, because what seed is in your field, you know what your crop is going to be. So if we know what is in Genesis, and that's why the prophet says, I could take that seventh seal in Genesis and show you where it began in Genesis. If there's an Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, there'll be a Christ and his bride in the millennium in Revelation. Exactly. Paradise lost, paradise regained is then the Bible for us to see. So we see we have a foundation for our faith. We're not hoping this is right. We're not hoping there's really a rapture. We can see in the Bible how it was sealed up in the book. It was hidden there. But because the seven seals are opened, it's real to us today. Amen. See? So if man is to go in the rapture, you see, we talk it many times, but we don't let our minds go into the place where God can reveal it. Amen. We just say we go in the rapture and we don't even think about it. Amen. But watch. These messages were to try to open to you, there's a way to move into it. There's a time when you move into it. There's the king who comes in among the guests. There's the king who sent the messenger out, who started the healing revival, who's attracting the attention, who's bringing the message, revealing the name and the invitation, bringing them to receive the robe. It's all a preparation to take them into the wedding supper. And we are falling. We see the arsenic is right on the threshold before the boy went back into the father's economy. And when he got the robe, the first thing he went to was the supper. Amen. And we see exactly where we are, where the boy came into union with his father. Amen. In the hour of restoration. Amen. And so we look and we see these things again happening. Now, man, when God made man back in Genesis, in his spiritual and physical makeup, man was made to live in two worlds. Paul said the worlds were framed by the word of God. There's the unseen world and there's the visible world. Well, both worlds, the unseen world, the invisible world, and the visible world, consist of seven dimensions. We live in three dimensions that we can tap by our five senses. But then, there are four dimensions there. See? There's a place where those who die outside of Christ goes. Then lower than that, you have where Satan is. Then high above, you have where the saints are in the sixth dimension, and then you have where God is. So then we realize then that there's worlds, visible and invisible. And when God made man, he didn't just make man a physical man. Man was a spirit being. And Adam had senses, he was equipped with senses to contact the spirit world. But he had not the senses to contact the physical world. So God, in Genesis 2, formed a body out of the dust of the earth to give him five senses to contact the world. So Adam was equipped in his makeup to live in two worlds. He could live in two worlds. That's why you are not just a body, the spirit is. That soul, you can contact God with that. That was given for you to contact God. Amen. That the man who don't have whose soul is not part of the world, he can't contact God. He tries to go by reasoning and imagination and learning, and it comes from weird conception. But by faith, brother, you can contact God. The invisible God can be revealed to you. Amen. Because the very life in you is an attribute of that very same God. Amen. There's a link. The baptism of the Holy Spirit makes you an associate with the unseen world. Amen. Make you a candidate for the supernatural. It link you up to God. Your new birth link you to that theophany. Amen. And then you begin to receive messages. You're hearing from your theophany. You begin to receive inspiration. You begin to know there's a part of you somewhere. There's a higher order that you are ascending back up into. You drop down from it, but you are coming back to it. Amen. And look, so Adam was made to live in two worlds. See? And God equipped him with these senses. Because, you see, there's a body that was made for this physical world, and there's a body that was made for the spirit world. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, that was made for the spirit world. Genesis 2, 7 was made for the physical world. Amen. And that's why when God came in the cool of the day, he could talk with God. When that theophany came, walk in the garden, Adam could talk with God. Just like Elisha stood there, and he could contact the unseen world. He could see the angels and the chariots of fire. Why? He was equipped with his senses to contact that world. He was an associate with the unseen world. And yet he could hunt and fish and do all these things here in the physical world. So look, so if one would have to dwell in a particular environment, like when God is bringing Adam to dwell on the earth and have dominion, then he had to get the garment that would cause him to exist in this world and relate to this world. If God had just leave Adam as a spirit being, he couldn't contact this world and relate to it. He didn't see the fruit of the tree and he can't eat it. See? He didn't see the birds and the lion and then to play with them. It'll be different. But then God gave him a body. No, Satan and his angels, they were cast down to the earth. But they had no body. And Satan couldn't do much without the body. So he tried to find a way to inject himself into the human race. Is that right? Okay. He found a way to unite the realm of flesh and spirit together. No, it's what is happening in the last days, friend. It's what is taking place. You see? So look at it. Back there, God provided Adam with a robe. Now, that came by a creative act. But Satan couldn't create. So he couldn't create a body and come and live in it. But God created one for Adam. See? God created a body for Adam. Because only God can create. Satan cannot create, but he can pervert what has been created. So God has a provided way to furnish us with the robe that we have need of in order to exist in the world that he wants us to live in. Now, where are those sleeping saints, those in the sixth dimension, where are they going to get their bodies from to go to the wedding supper? They're going to come by a creative act of God. God have a way to furnish it for them, is that right? And he knows the world that they're going to, and he knows the type of body that they need to live in that world. And come back, where's the world? I'm not talking about dimensions now. Because remember, when you come back in the millennium, in the new heaven, new earth, we will have a body that can go to either world. Where would the bride be when the new heaven, new earth when the whole earth has been renovated? Where would the bride be when the whole thing is on fire? The type of body she can go to heaven and come back. That's why we go to the wedding supper and come back. We'll have one like Jesus had, one adapted for both worlds. Right now, this body can only exist in this world. And we move around with this body in this world, but where are we going? We cannot take this body with us. Amen. But locked up in this message is a secret to move us out of this into the other one. Amen. And that's why the message is life to us. It's not just a bunch of words. It's the divine revelation from the thoughts of God that has come to us by the mouth of a prophet. God opening the Bible. This is a book of redemption. Do with the title deed. This is going to bring him back to the tree of life. That you'll be able to eat and live forever. Amen. So look. But if God have a provided way to furnish us with a body, with the robe that is needed to live in the world where we're going, then we'd have to come by God's provided way in order to receive the garment that is necessary for our existence there. That's what it was teaching in Matthew 22. The man wanted to go there, but he didn't realize the robe he had, he couldn't go there with that robe. But the bridegroom who furnishes the robe to take you there, because he knows how to get you there. He knows you need a certain type of robe to be at that supper table in that chamber and then come back here. Amen. Glory. So he's the one who furnishes that robe for us. Amen. So As we examine this rapture, I want you to notice, we'll see that there are certain laws that must be in operation in order for the rapture to take place. Amen. Now, if you notice, we say the rapture, and we'll be caught up. I say without much thought to it. Gravitation holds his body down right now. Our change is going to come when we see the resurrected saints. Amen. But this church must come to perfection to bring the resurrection. Amen. We have to come into our perfect faith. And those divinely revealed mystery truths contained in the seven seals, the mystery of the seven thunders, is to give us that faith. It takes away our amnesia. It makes us know as we were known. It shows us our position in the world. It shows us under no circumstances we could ever be lost. We are part of the world. Amen. It shows how to rely upon what God has made us as believers. Amen. And then, if there is to be a resurrection, then there has to be faith to bring a resurrection. There must be a law of faith go to work in the believer. The prophet says, he says, you take a bird can't run down here and says, I'm going to go and take off an eagle. An eagle says, I'm going to try to take off. So you take a long run and then try to get airborne. No. He said, the eagle know he is an eagle. He knows he's not a chicken. He has that consciousness that he is built to possess that law to fly. And he knows how to operate that law that is inside of him. He said, a fish don't say, let me take a deep breath. You know, and then try to maybe, you know, go down and keep some oxygen and so on. And, you know, no. He knows he's a fish. He knows he's not a turkey. See? He knows he's not a rhinoceros or something. He knows he's a fish. And he knows he has a body adapted for the environment that he's put him in. His creator. Hallelujah. His creator designed him. His creator built him to possess that law. His creator put him to express that law in that environment. And so, he swims in that water. It's all the same way you are built to possess a law of faith. If you're the serpent seed, there'll be nothing in the quicken. But the new birth brings faith. Amen. See, the new birth brings faith. And because you are seed, you can be reborn. There's a sense, the super sense. You only have five operating because your first birth give you five senses. But your new birth give you the sixth sense. Give you the super sense. Amen. And your new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ in you to show you what part of the world you are. Make you recognize your position. And then you begin to live in that realm with faith now. You know you possess that law. You know to let go and let God. Amen. Hallelujah. That new birth links you up with omnipotence. Amen. You know you're an attribute of God. All that God is in you. But I'm saying you have the old ocean outside there, the whole Indian Ocean. You go and just take a spoonful of water out of the Indian Ocean outside there. Brother, all the chemicals that is in that whole ocean is in that little spoonful. Amen. You might be a little measure, but you have all that God is. Amen. God is the whole ocean, but you are the same potential. Glory be to God. So there must be a law of faith, and that's what this word is doing to you. It's showing you how to exercise in that law. It's showing you your built to possess that law. It's showing your creator designed you a certain way. You came from his very thought expressing flesh here. How he hunts you out. Amen. And then you begin to see in your life and know how to let go and let this faith go to work. Amen. And like the eagle, when the mama said, Junior, fly! You can fly, boy! He said, Mama, I never tried before. He said, try then for the first time. You can do it. You are an eagle. But he flapped them wings. He got up on the barnyard post. So he's worn out a little bit. Amen. But she come back around a second time. Amen. Said, come on now, boy. You can do it. Amen. But we don't move up again. And the prophet said, we have the Holy Ghost. We don't try it out. He said, that time I was in the woods, I saw this eagle. And that eagle was watching me. He said, God attracted my attention to the eagle. He said, Lord, why are you attracting my attention to the eagle? And he took up his gun. He said, do you know I could shoot you? He said, that eagle watched him like that with his eyes set. He said, they had a little pine squirrel. chatter. The days of miracles is over. Some little denominational spirit trying to compete for some attention or something. Amen. He said the eagle was so fed up with that noise. Amen. But he just flapped them wings and take off. Prophet said he only flapped them wings out twice. He knew how to set it. He said it showed he had tried out before. He had confidence in what he had, what he possessed. Amen. And that's what God is doing to us under these seven thunders here. Showing you can try it out. You don't have to get scared of every devil that come with every little situation, every little crisis. Amen. You can take things under your control in the name of Jesus Christ. See? So that faith comes. And as the church begins to move in that realm of faith, then it says getting the rapture in faith, then there must be a law of resurrection. Because how are the sleeping, if sleeping saints have to come up, there must be a law of resurrection going to motion. Because our change could only come when the sleeping saints rise. So when we talk about the rapture, we talk about a law of faithfulness. We talk about a law of resurrection have to come into play also. Then there has to be a law of transformation. Because how will this mortal put on immortality? See? There's a law of transformation that changes. As I was speaking about the butterfly, the caterpillar being transformed into a butterfly. Amen. Then there has to be a law of ascension. Because gravitation right now holds this body earthbound. So when we say the rapture, all these laws are real laws. Let me tell you, gravitation is a real law that's holding you earthbound. Then ascension, Jesus went up. So he was loose somehow. Enoch went up. Amen. So we see then that to change dimensions, we must move into the law of ascension. Because there's no way we're going to come off the earth if we don't move into that law. Then moving into the law of faith, that's a real experience. Because we walk by sight. We walk after the course of this world. We look at temporal things. But then something happened. And we start to look at the unseen. We start to walk by faith. The feet of the first fruits. He knew the program. He knew the junction. And he knew the place when it was time for him to leave. And so he began to tell them, go and tarry. He was opening up to them even where they were going to go to pick up the spirit. Is that right? And he knew where he had to go for the cloud to pick him up as well. Amen. Look, Moses and Elijah. Don't you think when they come and they begin to read that word and they know they are them two prophets and they know they're going to preach 3.5 years, they'll be able to prophesy their own death? They'll be able to prophesy their own resurrection? How did Jesus say, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up? He saw it in the word. And the word says they'll be dead for 3.5 days. The word said they'll preach for 3.5 years. They will know when the ministry begins. Amen. They will know when it's supposed to end too. They will know when death's supposed to come. When they're supposed to go off the scene. Then what about us, friend? If we are to be taken up, then aren't we to be walking in the same consciousness? Do you know you are going? Elijah knows he's going. Jesus knows he's going. Moses and Elijah will know when they are going too. Enoch knew when he was going. Enoch named his son Methuselah. You know what Methuselah means? When he is dead, the flood will be sent. And the very same year Methuselah died, the Bible says Noah went into the ark and God shut the door. Amen. He was a prophet. He had revelation. Enoch even saw the second coming. The Lord coming with 10,000 of saints. Glory. He had such revelation of the word. Enoch built a pyramid. Amen. But he had a vision of that bride, of that kingdom that is coming. Glory. Look and see, friend. As Brother Bram showed, that is the man who's going to wrap that pyramid. It was a very reflection of Enoch's life. That was a very physical symbol of his preaching because he was raptured. He was that perfect man that's going to rapture. He walked with God. So if they were to link up with the unseen, that he was not, he was translated. Elijah was walking with God. Jesus knew every junction. He said, no man can touch my hour, it's not yet come. He said, no, it's my hour come. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. On the cross, he said, it's finished. He said, not many days the Holy Ghost is going to come, I must go. Should the comforter could come. Amen. Then if they knew it, then what about us? What are we walking in? Friends, let me tell you, it's beyond coming to church. It's beyond little meetings and these things. It's beyond just a little human excitement. It's coming to a place if we can catch just halfway what the Holy Spirit has been saying in these services. If we can really get into it and catch from the Word and see the Scripture breaking and meditate over it and let God write it in our heart, we'll understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. It'll bring us into faith. It'll focus us and give us true expectations, seeing the junction we are and what is fixing to come to pass. Amen. So look, if we are living where we are unconscious of the unseen world, we're not conscious of the ministry of angels, we're not conscious of our theophanies, we're not conscious of the realm of demons. We didn't know about theophanies, we didn't know about demons, we didn't know about the ministry of angels, but when God sent a prophet in this day, he was equipped to live in both worlds. And he lived in them two worlds, the worlds unseen and the worlds seen. And he would tell us, he said, look at the devil is calling upon this one for help. Look at the devil screaming, going out here. He said, I see the light over that person, that angel come minister to me. Whenever he speaks, it's always in the Bible. He tells me, go to Arizona. Seven angels is going to come. The seals are going to be open. See? He was living in that realm. He knew what was happening. He sat there in JCPenney's store and he saw something. He had seen that before. He went back to the Bible and began to show them demons, how it's coming out. How they're coming in the flesh that reject the message of the hour. Amen. And becoming incarnate. And how Lucifer wanted to bring his kingdom to flesh. I will be like God. I will sit in the temple as God. And he was seeing the realm of demons. He said, we can see Lucifer, what he's doing. He's trying to build a better kingdom than Michael. He said, and those spirits are in those men of that ecumenical move right now. Fallen angels. Is that right? Amen. He was conscious of the realm of demons. He was conscious of the realm of angels. See? He was conscious of the realm of visions. He was conscious of the dimension where the saints are. He says, by God's grace, he let me see both places. When he went there, it was women came running out. When he went below there, it was women came running out. Is that right? Sure. See? And when he looked back in the Bible, these things was in the Word. Then, friends, when he came and he began to show to us the Scripture, and the Scripture began to open. Why? Because it was time for these Scriptures to be brought to light. Because there's no way we could rapture except it become known to us. There's no way we can ever minister to the lost if we don't know the lost. How to become lost. The condition of the lost. If we don't know how we are bride, how we can even function in the ministry of bride to finish the work of Jesus Christ. Then they have to be aware for us to know we are bride. What identifies as bride? What is the characteristics of the bride? Amen. What are the Scriptures the bride must fulfill so our expectations can be right? Amen. And look, the prophet, we had the Scripture yesterday afternoon, 2 Kings. Here was Gehazi. He was with the prophet. He could tell all the stories about the prophet. He saw the pot got healed. He could tell the story about Naaman, how Naaman got healed. He said, it was me. The prophet met me and told me to go and talk to him. Because the prophet didn't talk to him directly. He said, I went over there and tell him, I look him in the eye and I said, you have to go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. That said the prophet. See? Boy, he was popular. Because everywhere he go, he could tell all the stories that the prophet told. And people love to hear about them stories about the prophet. And I can imagine many people envied him. How he was so close to the prophet already. But he never had the desire the prophet had. Because when the prophet turned on the money, he went after the money. He felt he could still hide from the prophet. After he saw that prophet exposed was in the king bed chamber. After he saw that prophet smite the people blind, yet he still felt he could do them things. See? But what's something? Here he was. He was walking with the prophet. But he wasn't linked up with the unseen world like the way the prophet was linked up with the unseen world. And the prophet said, Lord, open the boy's eyes. And his eyes begin to come open and he begin to see. And so, friends, God has to bring us conscious that the unseen world is here. He said, wouldn't you, on the message, Revelation Book of Symbols, Brother Bram said, wouldn't you like to live where you are conscious of the unseen world all the time? He said the baptism of the Holy Spirit make you a candidate for the supernatural and associate to the unseen world. Look at Mary, a type of the bride who is to bring for the Messiah. She was in contact with angels. Look at Paul and Peter and Philip, a type of the fivefold ministry here today, a continuation of the same fivefold ministry. They were in contact with the angel of the Lord. Is that right? Same one that was veiled in human flesh that revealed the Son of Man. When that flesh was removed from the scene, that angel was appearing with them wherever they went, directing them in service because the germ was coming through the body. Amen. Look and see the ministry. Look and see the believers. Look and see in that first age, the little girl went by the door. She says, Peter, angel. They were so conscious of theophanies. They were expecting that if Peter is dead, his theophany could come right there. They live in that realm. A young girl, little maiden in the house, because they were taught these things. Because they saw Jesus after the resurrection appearing, sitting and eating with the disciples, telling them about things pertaining to the kingdom, letting them know about the commission and how they should go out into the world and carry the gospel, what was fixing to happen. Amen. I'm going to try to hurry. I know you could get tired, but just as I say, we want to strike some things here because we want to see this rapture, friend. You see, 1963, the Lord is on the head of the shout. Be 1994. That's 31 years he's talking about. That's the close of a generation just now. And some people don't even know what the shout is, what the voice is. And those are just the junctions. Much more what we're talking about, walking where you are conscious of the unseen world, where you link up with the Holy Spirit, where you're directed in service, where you have spiritual discernment, where you know that there's a rapture in faith being revealed in your heart because you see your name in the book, you recognize your position, where you're coming to maturity, where your word being made flesh among the people again. Amen. See, it's beyond plain church. Now look, so if we see that we have to come to that place in this hour, look at Adam and Eve here, and we strike this quickly to show you, there was clothing in the faith civilization. They didn't need clothing at the science civilization. God had made Adam to live in that world. And here he walked in the Garden of Eden, he and Eve, they look upon each other and they couldn't last. Because the attraction wasn't the physical body. It was the character. They was clothed with a glory. There was a different a type of clothing, a clothing that we don't even know today. All the clothing we know today is suit and winter clothes or clothes for heat or fashionable clothes and these things. But they was naked and not ashamed because they was clothed with a holy veil, the prophet calls it. A robe of celestial light, Shekinah light they was clothed in. When they walk in the Garden of Eden, when God would come down, they were made in the image and likeness of God. And when God came down in the garden, they were reflecting Him. They were a reflection of Him. There was a oneness that existed between God and His church back there. And that same oneness is what is coming back in these last days through this message. So look at it. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they had a clothing that left them when they partook of a perverted word. Is a perverted word a partook of? They ate from the tree of death. Yea, had God said, you shall not surely die. And God said, hast thou eaten from the tree? He said, who tell you I was naked? Hast thou eaten from the tree? Because God know, eating from that tree, that glory will left them. Eating from that tree, that perverted word, is going to bring death. Then when people play around with a lot of these false interpretations, ideas, and have itching ears, and they let these seducing spirits seduce them many times away from the faith. How could they move into a rapture in faith? If eating a perverted word took that glory away, and they came into a nakedness, not just a physical nakedness, because I want to show you, when they made that coat, that apron from fig leaves, they tried to make a covering to cover themselves so they would be able to stand in the presence of God. But when God came down and they heard God walking,
They got so scared, they took off and went and hide. Though the outer man was covered. Because the covering they made could only cover the physical man. Listen, all the clothes we wear today could only cover the physical man. That's why God tells his age, the age with the most clothes. Let me tell you, every one of us here have more clothes than any other apostle could ever think about. See? These are age, department stores, but all kind of clothes industries, all over, everything is clothes, sales, shopping, this, someone pairs of shoes, someone dresses, someone ties, someone shirts, someone suits. People, wardrobes can't even hold you among the clothes they have. This is the age of clothing. Amen. But look at it. God said, tell the church, he said, but you are naked. Why? Because the inner man is still naked. This is a shame to stand in God's presence. Was a shame in the inner man because the inner man was unclothed. Because God had clothed up the physical body and they covered the private organs with the thought, you know. But it really wasn't that. Because when God came to realize he was naked, that couldn't cover them. Now watch. Quickly, we strike this. I want you to see something, because when it comes to Revelation, God say, to this age, to this last age, a type of the raptured age, this is the seventh age, a type of the age like Enoch that goes in the rapture. And this seventh seal revealed by the seventh messenger is the rapture message. The rapture message, the seventh seal, the coming, comes to the seventh age to rapture the bride like Enoch. But what happens? The message of this age says, come and buy of me, Isaac. What for? To see the unseen world, friend. To begin to see spiritual things. Not physical things. To begin to see spiritual things. Then they come by me, gold tried in the fire. What is that? The character of God. He said, naked you come into the world and naked you leave. The only thing you will leave with this world is the character of Jesus Christ. You can leave with. That he didn't come with. And then he said, buy of me white raiment. First, your eyes been anointed with eye salve. Not this eye, I'm pointing here, but not this eye. This, we're in the seen age, but we're going to see the unseen. Faith comes to us. The faith is restored. It brings us up. Because why? It's the rapture message. And he says, buy white raiment that you'll be clothed in. In other words, this message brings the clothing to you. This message brings the character to you. This message brings a vision to you. Amen. And how could a man go into rapture on this message and his eyes are not anointed? He can't see the unseen. When the prophet said, Lord, open the boy's eyes. How can he go into the theophany and have the character of Jesus Christ? How can he even go into that change if he's not forming the word image? If he don't have the character, the virtue, the status of a perfect man. If he don't have that glory, how could he even go into that change of body? Is that right? And then the white raiment to be clothed for where he's going. Because this seventh age, because the end of the seventh message is what? You will sit with me in my throne. That is where, not this civilization. That's back to the first civilization. Amen. Back to the restored Eden. So watch and see what we are talking about here. So there, nakedness and shame is always associated in the Bible. But in Genesis 2:25, shame wasn't associated with that kind of nakedness. There was naked of the clothing like we have today, but not ashamed, is what the Bible is saying. There was naked of this kind of clothing, but not ashamed, because there was clothed with something else. But when that left them, they realized they was naked, and they went to the fig leaves. Now watch something, watch it closely here. They go to the fig leaves to botany life, which is a substitute, to make a substitute covering, to take the place of a covering that was spirit given. They realized they couldn't stand in God's presence. When the high priest had to go in the presence of God, he had to have special garments. Is that right? They took it last night. See, So if we're going back into the presence of God, this flesh and blood can't go there. We have a special garment. God gave Adam and them a garment back there. And when that garment left them, they couldn't stand in God's presence. And then they thought up the first industry in the Bible is the garment industry. The first form of occupation was Adam was the first tailor, he was the first seamstress. The first designer clothing anybody ever wear is what they made out of the factory. They went to botany life. They choose the best thing. And I can imagine when they made it, Adam said, "How I look, you?" She said, "You look fine." And they had their unisex clothes because they had the same material. It all come back in the last days, friend. Amen. And watch them out here, perverted. Couldn't stand in God's presence. Yet they thought they were so dressed up. Because they realized God, it took something else. The inner man was still naked. And when Adam spoke, he didn't speak as concerning his physical body being naked. Because he had it covered up. He spoke as concerning the inner man. Because the covering that God gave them covered both the inner man and the outer man. You get that? It covered both the inner man and the outer man. See, that right raiment was a supernatural robe of white light. Psalms 104, let me give you a scripture. Verse 1 and 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Like who covereth thyself with light as with a garment." God's garment is light, white light. Supernatural raiment, white raiment. They went to green botany, they went to green fig leaves. But when God killed a lamb, it was white wool, and he put on a white garment back on them. But that garment was typing the white raiment that was going to come through the death of a slain lamb, the real lamb of God. He was going to bring a white raiment through his death for them. Which was going to bring redemption, bring them back to the kind of a clothing that they had in their faith civilization before the fall. Now let's take a little deeper look at this here, quickly. You see, now birds, you watch birds. Birds cover themselves with beautiful feathers, which come from within them. You watch a peacock or something, boy, beautiful. But where do them feathers come from? From the inside out. You watch a nice leopard with a nice... People want to collect them skins and they want to have all them special skins, right? But where did that nice fur come from? From the inside out. It's always been God's plan for his creatures to cover themselves with a covering that is produced from within. See? The bodies of Adam and Eve was covered with something that came from the inside out. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit came back, which is the robe, snow white robe of eternal life, came through the death of a slain lamb, where it covered first? The soul. It went to the inside. Amen. Where did the resurrection start from? From the inside. Amen. See, God, bring it back, friend. You see, in the last days, we are walking into a sure promise. It's not just a nice thought. It's a reality we are walking into. Amen. Jesus told us about that garment being furnished. He showed the Father calling for the best robe for the boy. My title tonight is being robed now. For the faith civilization. Being robed now. We right now being robed. The first robe has already come on you already. On the soul, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the first robe. Then you have the garments of a celestial body, a theophany. And then you're going to come to your glorified condition. Amen. Then you're fully robed for that faith civilization. But it's already taken place already. Amen. Look. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost their power to produce that covering from within. It left them. And they couldn't bring it back. When the Holy Spirit left the Lutheran church, when they denominated, they couldn't bring the Holy Spirit back. So they make a denomination. When the Holy Spirit left the Wesleyan church, when they refused to move on with God, they couldn't bring it back. So they make a denomination. See? They couldn't bring it back. And the same way when that holy veil left Adam and Eve, they couldn't bring it back. So what they do? They manufacture their own covering. A type of religion they make their own with wisdom. See, went away education, trying to fabricate, trying to manufacture one. But in the resurrection, We will be changed. Jesus rehearsed the resurrection, the second coming, Matthew 17. He was showing them, not many of you, some of you standing here will not see death until you see the kingdom of God in power. 2 Peter 1, he says, when we were there in the holy mount, when he made known to us his parousia and his dunamis, the coming and the power of Jesus Christ, he made known to us in the mountain. He was foreshowing this, the mystery of the second coming. He said, here was Peter, James, and John. So he said, 140,000. Here was Moses and Elijah, the translated saints and the resurrected saints. Here was Jesus glorified. Here is the whole thing being foreshadowed right there before them. And what happened to Jesus? He passed into a glorified condition. It was his adoption, as we heard yesterday evening. Amen. But in the adoption ceremony, what does the Father do? He put a special robe on the boy, a robe of immortality. The Bible, Romans 8:23 says, but we have the earnest right now, the first fruits. But we groan waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, we have the earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession. We have the earnest of our inheritance. But he's going to bring a glorified body, but we have the earnest of the change in us right now in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That adoption robe, that fully mortal, that glorified condition is coming, brother. It already started from the inside out. Amen. That is going to bring that whole glory over us. Amen. Adam and Eve lost something, but God showed he was going to come back. Because when you come to Revelation, to the last church, he said, buy me white raiment. You're going back to sit in my throne, you're going back to the restoring, but you need a character, you need a raiment. See? To go there. Exactly right. Look, when the messenger came, the same evening messenger, the last messenger, there in Matthew 22, Luke 14, the servant at supper time, he brings the invitation so they can be robed to go there. Look in our restoration, Luke 15, the prodigal son, when he goes back, before he crosses over, he gets the robe there. Look where he's placed. Look at the last trump. The dead in Christ shall be raised in corruption, and we who are alive and men shall be changed. This mortal will put on immortality. The robe comes right here. The age of adoption, not Luther, not Wesley, not the Pentecostal age. This age, the age of adoption. The full redemption of the body, where the robe comes upon the son. Amen. See, it's all tied back here in the Bible. To show how we are coming into it. So in that resurrection, quickly. Oh, I'm doing good. I'm all finished. I just want to hit this glorified body, track this glorified body for you, that you can see it, what it is, and you can know that we have the earnest, we are moving right into it by God's grace, quickly. Amen. Because it's a great, wonderful thing that God... You see, Jesus, when Jesus rose from the dead, he did what he did to the disciples in the manner in which he did it, to let them see he was not just restored to life. You see, all through the First Kings 17, the widow's son came back to life, but he died again. The Shunammite son came back to life, but he died again. See? Lazarus came back to life, but he died again. Eutychus fell through the window, came back to life, but he died again. See, Dorcas came back to life, but she died again. The widow of Nain's son died, came back to life, but he died again. But Jesus, when he died and rose, he said, I am he that liveth. I am he that liveth forevermore. I am he that liveth, was dead and alive forevermore. He could never die again because the body had couldn't see death. He says, he abolished death. He destroyed him with the power of death. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. The Sadducees had their own theories. It have no resurrection. See? When a man go over there, who is going to marry? Who? If one woman marries seven brothers, because each one had died, and she married the other brother according to the law, who husband, who wife she's going to be? Jesus laughed at him. He says, don't you know? You earn not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. In the resurrection, they shall be like angels. All these things was locked up from them. There was probing, that is. Every man had the idea. But here was the word, the Son of Man was to reveal it and bring it to light. Then he displayed the immortality himself among his own to let them see what they were going to come into. Amen. So true resurrection is to be raised up from the dead in a glorified body, in an immortal body, never to die again. And the world had never seen a true resurrection. They saw people die and restored back to life. But when Jesus raised, he came to his disciples walking through the wall, doing things like that, to show them this was a different thing. To convince them that death was abolished. Amen. See? Because it's not uncommon for a man to die and raise and die again. But for a man to move into that place, it was different. Amen. It was far different. Let's look at some scriptures here quickly. St. John 19. I'm trying to move through as quickly as I can. I just made about 15, 20 minutes. If you turn the pages faster than that, you might make it in right. But you turn the pages slower, you have a problem. St. John 19, verse 38. Okay. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might weigh the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Let's drop to verse 42. There lay day Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day, for the sepulchre was not at hand. Let's continue. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have put the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying yet in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying there, and the cloth that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Notice that. He saw the linen clothes, but he didn't go in yet. When Peter came, Peter saw the linen clothes lying there, the cloth that was about the head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. In other words, John is describing, when the Jews buried the dead, remember when Lazarus came out of the grave? He came up bound hand and foot, like a mummy. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And after they loosened, the napkin was still on his face, the head bandage. He said, loose that too. And then he was completely loose. But when they went in, they saw the part that they wrapped the body with here. They saw the part where the head was there by itself. And they realized something is happened. Because Mary Magdalene said, they took away the body of Jesus. So they went thinking, well, somebody stole the body. So they walked in, but John notices the arrangement and the order of the linen clothes. Peter just look and see linen clothes with no body. But John say, he saw and believed. In other words, John realized, how could the body be removed or stolen and yet the linen clothes is not disturbed? Just where the head bandage was wrapped the same way over the head was there, and just the distance where the other part was like a cocoon, is right there also, but nobody inside it. No, that made John believe. Because John realized, if a man had tried to remove the body and leave the linen clothes, there were these signs that it was disturbed. But Peter didn't notice the order and the arrangement. So Peter was still confused whether a resurrection had taken place or whether they stole the body. But John caught it, that body moved through the linen clothes. Now watch. Watch this. This is very interesting here. It's a deep revelation right here. We're going to strike it. Verse 8. Then went in also the other disciple who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. Let's look at verse 26. Oh, verse 19 and 21st. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, see, the doors were shut, they tell us that. They put that in there so we will not be confused, because the scripture here is revealing to us something about that body. Jesus had stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's jump into verse 26 now. And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. The Bible says the door has been shut because I don't want to leave out that detail. In other words, they're telling us this man is coming in the building, but not by the door. He's coming right through the wall. And said, peace be unto you. Now, let's turn quickly to Luke 24. Because Luke also mentions that why Paul Peter was confused when he saw this is when the women went to the tomb and they saw the angel, and the angel asked them why seek you to live in among the dead, and told them Jesus was risen. Look at verse 6. He is not here, but he's risen. The angel is talking to them. And the angel tell them, remember how he spoke unto you when you was yet in Galilee? They were in that meeting in Galilee, and Jesus was preaching and was telling them how he's going to go in Jerusalem. He'll die and he'll rise the third day. Then they come now. They forget all those things. They forget there was no service. They forget they hear that preach. They didn't see no angel that day in the meeting, you know. And that angel tells them, remember, you was yet in Galilee when he preached that message. And he tell you that. Friends, you think we just gathered here being tired? You think we just gathered here trying to finish up a convention? You think God is interested in us finishing up a convention? God gathers here to say something. God gathers to put certain things into our heart because they're always here. Amen. 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 And the thing is, them very angels are here. If you are elected, your name is in the book. They sent to watch over you through life's journey. They are sent from the presence of God to minister unto them who are the heirs of salvation. The very locust, the pillar of fire, where two or three gather my name, there I am in the midst. Amen. Amen. So look, that angel told him, he says, you was there in Galilee, and he preached that, and you come here looking for a dead body? If you understood what was preached that day in the meeting when you sat there in the chair, he said, you were shouting the most. Amen. Amen. He said, you come here looking for a dead body? Amen. He said, he's not here, he's risen. And look, he says, and they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with him who told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Yet to the angel. And the hour of the resurrection, they were testifying angelic visitation, of revelation, of things the Son of Man said. And all these who walked with Jesus, all these big ministers, they didn't believe what they were saying. It's like idle tales, because it's supernatural, it's so simple. And God comes, there's some that you think he shouldn't even come to sometimes. But look, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. In other words, it had linen clothes but no body. A body was wrapped in the linen clothes, from what we read. But then here, when it was there, they saw the linen cloth by itself without the body. And look, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Catch it. But because they didn't know the scripture, there was to be a resurrection. They had no light on the scripture. And because they had no light on the scripture, and they forget the preaching of the Son of Man, then the event has happened. They forget what was preached, and they had no light in the scripture, and here were signs that he was really risen. And they look at it and have no discernment to discern that that was a sign of the resurrection. Now, Matthew 27, verse 50 to 52, Matthew, in writing about it, says when Jesus died on the cross, cried a loud voice, the veil of the temple rent in twain, the saints that was in the graves awoke, the rock did rent, the graves did quake, the earth did quake, and the graves were opened. Then Mark and different ones write different experiences. But John never writes nothing about the veil rent in twain. He never writes nothing about the Old Testament saints awoke. He never writes nothing about the earthquake and the rocks rent. John spent all these 10 verses telling us about linen clothes. John was the eagle. And what John talked about, the eagle, and spent all the time to tell him, none of the other three writers ain't writing nothing about the linen clothes. About it. Luke mentions it here, but by itself, Peter look at it. But John said, I saw that and I believed. John said, that linen clothes to me confirmed the whole thing to me. Even though I didn't know the scripture, when I saw it, I knew he was risen. What had happened, get it? When Lazarus came up from the grave in his linen clothes. But when Jesus came up, he didn't come up in his linen clothes. When Lazarus came, they had to loose Lazarus and let him go. But Jesus came up in a different kind of resurrection than Lazarus had come up in. He came up in a different body than what Lazarus came up in. Because he came up in a glorified body. He moved right through the clothing. And it remained wrapped like a mummy the same way, only no body. And when John saw that confirmed him that he was risen indeed, because it was supernatural. Then Jesus now began to appear. Now watch it now. Jesus did that purposely to let them see the type of body he came up in. Because he was to reveal to them in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, you will have a body fashioned like my own glorious body. At the last trumpet, when the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, you shall be changed into that kind of body. When I appear in my robe, you will get the best robe, one just like my own, because you will see me as I am. What kind of body we moving into, friend? Watch it here. Jesus, from the cradle, in the manger when he was born, the first thing they wrapped him in was swaddling clothes. And for 33 years, he lived wearing clothes from this scientific civilization to clothe his naked body. But on the cross, he was stripped naked when they cast lots for his garments without seam, his clothes without seam. Then they took him in the naked body and they wrapped it in the linen clothes and they put it in the tomb. And when he rose up out of the linen clothes, but he didn't raise naked. But he was showing that glorified body do not need clothing from this science civilization to cover it. Because it had come back to its full glorified condition. It had the type of a covering that they saw on Mount Transfiguration when he gave them a preview of the resurrection. When it was like white as light. And they saw him clothed in the glory in that mountain. And his garments glistened as white as no fuller soap could wash it, as white as light. Now watch. Let's turn quickly to Luke 24. Jesus purposely was doing these things. Why was he doing it? He wanted to show them what was achieved for them. Just about 5 more minutes.
You're going to tell the truth. Luke 24, verse 31. Let's take from verse 30. The pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They walked with him all day, talked with him. The Bible in Mark 16 said he was in another form, but their eyes were withheld, that they didn't recognize him. And then he came into the little tavern and he sat there, and they called for the meal. And when the meal was served, he took the bread and blessed and broke it. And then, as it were, he just slipped from time into eternity. He broke this time zone. He came right away from the sack. They saw the man had the bread in his hand like that, breaking it. The same man who they heard his voice pushing them for 6 hours. And then all of a sudden, the chair was empty. He made that kind of exit because he wanted to show them the body, the type of body he was in. They saw that same body sleeping on a pillow in the boat. They saw that same body hungry. They saw that same one cry by Lazarus' grave. They saw that one weary, hold his head when his eye perceived virtue went out of me. See? They saw that same one beaten and bleeding. Saw that one, that body taken lifeless. They helped wrap it with the linen clothes and lift it up and carry it in the tomb. And here this body, they saw that this thing disappeared like that. What had happened? Look at how it goes on in verse 36. They had run all the way back to Jerusalem. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. See? They were speaking, and he appeared like that right in the midst of them. And said to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. I can imagine he was standing there maybe in midair. And it had to be a spirit. Wait, pastor, let's come to the wall and look at hanging right there almost. The man for was maybe on the ground. And then he stands amongst them, and they're all terrified, thinking it's a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. He let them, he knows they believe what their senses declare. You believe I have on a blue shirt? Somebody tell you I was preaching a red shirt here. Tonight you'll never believe it if you sat in this meeting. Why? Because you believe what your senses declare. Somebody give you a cup of hot tea and you drink it. And nobody can convince you it's cold orange juice. Because your sense of taste declare to be hot. Your sense of taste declare to be tea. You believe what your senses declare to you. You hear my voice right now. And you hear what I'm saying. If I say repeat what I'm saying, you can repeat it because your sense of hear declares that I'm speaking and you can see what I'm saying. Well, so when your sense of faith contacts God, nobody could take it away from you. He brought them. They couldn't understand what was happening. But you know, if they handle him, so if they handle me, his eye, spirit, and flesh, and get it here. Handle me. Is I myself, for his spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Not flesh and blood. Flesh and bones. The blood was poured into the earth. See? Look. Luke chapter 20. Verse 35 and 36. See, I want to finish. I'm just putting a few scriptures here because I'm leaving you and, you know, I don't want to confuse. At least when you're listening, you have time to study it over, you will know, you'll be able to see the reality of it. 35 and 36. This is where Jesus was answering those Sadducees who was asking about whose wife the woman was going to be in the resurrection. And verse 35. But they who shall be accounted worthy to that world or that age, talking about the millennium, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. And are the children of God being the children of the resurrection. Amen? Here Jesus is showing them. He says, you don't understand the resurrection. He said, but when they come up, he said, they will be like the angels. They will neither marry nor are given marriage. They'll have a body like the angels have. And they will never be able to die either. And let's close with 1 Corinthians 15, because that's where this great resurrection body really opens up here. So we are being robed right now, friends. We must put on this glorified body to go into wedding supper, to go into rapture. And if we have to put on this glorified body, this adoption robe, the full redemption of this body, to have it fashioned like His own glorious body, we are to know what kind of body it is going to be. What kind of robe we are to be robed with. See? The first baptism of the Holy Spirit is the down payment. It's the earnest of that body being fashioned like His glorious body. See? That theophany, if this earthly flesh dies, remember if quickening power was in that body. Remember like Elisha? The quickening power was in his bones. They told the man when the man came back to life. If quickening power is in that body, then there's a claim on that body to be raised up again. See? This body is God giving His body. See, it comes the wrong way. But God is going to raise it to its true glory it's supposed to be in. For God designed you. He wanted you just the way you look. Because your theophany is the same way. See, it's going to reflect you when you're at your youth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Paul is answering these Corinthians here because they had some strange doctrines coming among them about the resurrection. And in verse 35, he's dealing with the body, what type of body we're going to have. And he says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Or in other words, by what means are the dead raised up? Or after what manner, in what way then, are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it dies. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. Now what are we typing that here? Because be not deceived, whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. He say it might be wheat, it might be different things. If you sow wheat, you're not gonna get pumpkin for sure. See? If you sow mangoes, you're not gonna get wheat. Because every seed will have its kind. So you see what I'm talking about, that body that quickening power. You put on a man who's a drunkard in that body, when he come back up, it'll be the same way. But you sow something that had quickening power in it. What's the difference? It may be chance of wheat or some other grain, showing there are different type of seeds. But God giveth it a body as it had pleased Him, and to every seed its own body. There is serpent seed. See? There is seed in the Lamb's Book of Life. It has all different kinds of seed. See? Because remember, the first resurrection is only for the bride. And that they were seed, Abraham's seed. But God gave it a body as that pleased Him, and to every seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men. Another flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. They are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory. Paul had one glory, Uranus had one glory, Martin had one glory, Luke had a different glory. See? Stars differ in glory. See? Now watch. But notice what he's doing here. In verse 38, he's talking about every seed have its own body. In verse 39, he says, all flesh is not the same flesh. Sure, it has different type of flesh, and each type of flesh is for a different environment. In other words, all flesh is not the same flesh. Each type of flesh is adapted to its own environment. fish flesh don't fly in the air. Right? Bird flesh don't swim under the water. Each flesh don't environment. In other words, you're going to live in a world, you have to know the type of body to live in that world. When Adam is coming to live in this world, he had to know the type of body to live in this world. Now watch. So this is what Paul is showing. Because the resurrection is going to do what? Not come back to live here on this type of civilization. The resurrection, we go to another civilization. See? Another type of environment. Then verse 40, he begins to deal with the bodies now. He said, they are bodies. They are celestial bodies. Which is heavenly bodies, spirit bodies. And they are terrestrial bodies. In other words, the angels have one kind of body. That man, 200 pounds, with an olive complexion. He did so, and he disappeared in the light. One minute he comes as a cloud, one minute he comes as a light, one minute he comes as a dove. See, one minute he comes as a whirlwind. He can come in any form. See, he can materialize himself. And you see the man walk out. And then the man goes back up in the light again. That's one type of flesh. When Jesus stood there, his flesh could have gone to the wall. Peter's flesh couldn't go to the wall. See, different type of body. And then now, Paul goes on to explain to us here. He says, look, there are different type of glory too. See? He uses heavenly bodies, physical heavenly bodies like sun and moon and stars. But those heavenly bodies only represent celestial bodies. There's cherubims, there's seraphims, there's angels. It's different order of heavenly creations. Is that right? Exactly. They're all not the same. The seraphim had six wings, two of its face, two of its feet, with fly with two. The cherubim had one had a face like an eagle, one had like a man, one had like an ox. Is that right? In the Bible we see that. Then there's angels. See? The angel Gabriel. How he came to Daniel? Daniel said, the man Gabriel came to me. The angel came to the prophet, the man. See? Gideon saw the angel of the Lord. That man sat down there. Taking a form. See, different type of bodies. Now watch. He said, but they're all different in glory. One glory of the sun, one glory of the moon. In other words, showing that there is a different categories of glory. There are different categories of seed. There is some seed that will be in the bride. There is some seed that will be in the foolish virgins. There is some seed that will get eternal life for good works. There is some seed that is sold under the altar. All of them is God's children, you know. But that's some who's hired hands, some who's in the category of hired servants, right? Some who's in the category of sons, some who's like the feminine spirit, see? Because the bride is those in the election. The foolish virgin is the same type of cloth, same piece of material, but they was not in the election. He didn't foreknow them to be in the bride, but yet they are seed, because they're going to have eternal life. And only one form of eternal life, it's not two and three, only one form of eternal life. We'll all have equal eternal life, but we'll be in different categories. Amen. There's friends of the bridegroom, is that right? Like John, who is not in the bride, and who is not the bridegroom neither. See? So when you think of the resurrection, here it opened up to us to let us see how privileged we are. Being called in the bride, your name was in the invitation. So you come in to receive the robe. And when you receive the robe and you robe that robe, you can't take the position of a hired son, you go a hired servant, you take the position back of a son, back to the original position ordained for sons. And you dress with a different robe that the others have. Because only those, his bride, who is going to have a body fashioned like his own glorious body. When they come in the second resurrection, friends, they're going to work. They're going to bring the glory into the city. See? They have a different position to us. Where are we ruling over it, over the kingdom? Where we are part of the administration, they are just subjects in the kingdom. Amen. So he says, so also is the resurrection. See what he's explaining? So also is the resurrection. In other words, in the resurrection, we have to think about seed, we have to think about flesh, we have to think what kind of body they come up in, what type of glory they have. But Jesus is showing us the type of robe that the believers are going to have. It is sown In corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. What is a spiritual body? What does it mean? It's not like a ghost-like figure. It's a material body. Just a hands on me. Yet, it could transform itself. Yet, it could break the law of gravity. It could hold on earthbound. Yet, it could move to the world. It could ascend into heaven and come back at the speed of a thought. It's that robe that he's going to robe us with. You will be clothed in white raiment. Just to read your quote and close, I think, you know, the ministers and the others will be able to help make it a little easier for you. Then what's going to happen with this clothing? What's going to happen with this clothing? This came with the fall. This came because of sex. The type of houses we live in today came because of the fall. The type of clothing we wear today came because of the fall. The type of transportation we have today came because of the fall. The type of communication system we have today came because of the fall. The type of food we eat today came because of the fall. Our manufactured clothing, our manufactured food, our manufactured houses, our manufactured transportation, our manufactured communication system will all go, will all pass away when this civilization passes away. We won't need that kind of transportation more. We won't need that kind of communication no more. But you could stay from here and talk to somebody in the next part of the planet. Why? Because it would be like Elisha, the type they displayed a little bit of it. See? The type of speed he traveled is like Jesus. He went to the heaven and came back at the speed of a thought. It would be a different type of civilization. Showing us what lies for us. How could we see this? And see what promises us, and see it comes under this message. The shout part brings us out to the organization. The voice part brings us out to the grave. The trump part takes us out to the earth. See? As we walk in that message, as it unfolds, we'll be standing here like Abraham in a new body, friend. But only one far greater than Abraham ever had. Think about it. I just want to read to you to show you what that white robe is. You'll walk with me in white. The Sardisian age, they ask him the question, you speak about it, and they shall walk with me in white. This is Seven Churches book, page 263. That is what God says he will bestow upon them for this upright walk. That is part of the inheritance that he has reserved for them. If they are willing to walk with him through the toils and snares of life and be an honor to him, he is going to reward them. He is not forgetful of your labor of love. God will always recompense us for our efforts to please him. Yes, they had walked through the world and had not partaken of it. They had not let the world system overcome them. When the illustrious names of the age had yielded to the blandishment of state and chosen political mindedness rather than spiritual mindedness and were on their way back into the world, these few stood for the word of God and thereby honored the Lord. Now he would honor them in return. For they shall walk with him in the white. They had identified themselves with him on earth, and now he would identify himself with them in New Jerusalem. And now how marvelous will be that identification. It makes me rejoice, and yet it makes me weep to think of his condescension. For you will note, he is not dressed in another color different from the saints, as earthly leaders would so do. No, they are like him. He is like them. They are like him. Even as John said, for they shall see him as he is. For they are worthy. Do you realize who is saying this? It is Jesus, the worthy one himself. This is the only one who is accounted worthy to take the book out of the hand of him that sits on the throne. And now this worthy one is saying to his saints, you are worthy. Yeah, is this one. And the only one qualified to judge. And indeed, all judgment is committed unto him. And he said, you are worthy. These words are as astounding as the words in Romans 8:33. God says, I am righteous. There in the white light of God's righteousness, hear the sweet voice as Jesus. He says, these are mine, they are righteous, they are worthy, they shall walk with me in white. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. He said, this is actually a repetition of verse 4, wherein is made reference to the few who have not defiled their garments. We used to have a saying years ago that no doubt was taken from this verse. It was, keep your skirts clean. It meant don't get involved in questionable things. Others will be involved and you might be tempted to be involved, or someone might even try to involve you, but stay clear of it by all means, by steering a course away from it. Now, God is going to reward those who follow His advice. They are going to be clothed in white, even as He is clothed in white. He said, Peter, James, and John saw Him on Mount Transfiguration, and His clothes were as white as light. That is how the saints are going to be clothed. Their garments will be shining exceedingly white. Then, on Message Hear Him, talking about Jesus on Mount Transfiguration, Indianapolis, this is 1956. He said, He took him into a place, and there He adopted him into the family, or a special time when He set them apart. The church ought to be that way tonight. An angel come to you, set you apart, tell you your position. Angel, preaching angel in the pulpit, tell you your position. Not a bunch of men to lay hands on you. He said, God set you apart in a place where you belong. God does it. Your tutor does it. He's present when it takes place. He said, He was glorified in the presence of these witnesses. They come down, and God come down and overshadow Him, and the Bible says His garments glisten like the sun. You see, the robes, the glorification of Him. Amen. John, Jesus' raiment shine like the sun in the midst of the day. What is it? God put a robe on Him. Just like the old adoption said, He robed Him in a glorified condition. He robed Him and placed Him. Then He said, this is My beloved Son. Also, hear Him, Edmonton, 1957. He said, the Son, a special robe for this adoption ceremony, and God put on Jesus a special robe. He glorified Him right there in the presence of the witnesses, heaven and earth witnesses of Him, glorified Him, and Jesus was glorified before them. What did He do? He dressed Him in the robe of immortality. Amen. His garment glistened like the sun. And when He overshadowed Him on His raiment, His pretty robe before Him, the glorified condition, shined Him like the sun in its strength. Amen. He clothed Him in immortality. When He looked up and said, His garment shined like the sun, a supernatural something taking place. His garments glistened like the sun in the middle of the day, as white as it could be. God put on Him the robe of immortality, showing that He had received Him. He said also in another place, Jesus had passed on into that glorified condition, and they saw that glory from coming from within. When Moses was up in the mountain, they shined, and he put a veil. Moses only had a reflection of that glory. See? When the word was finished, that glory left him. But Jesus, that glory was from the inside, coming out. It wasn't outside glory coming in. See? So He showed to them His deity when He was there. And that glorified condition that He had passed into is the white raiment that He promises, you will walk with Me in white. For you to go back, dear friend, we are coming back to that very glorified condition. We are coming back under this message. He says, that white robe, snow white robe of eternal life, and the fourth seal. He says, Father, give them that snow white robe of eternal life. Take away the denominational robe of death and clothe their soul in that robe. And the message manifested sons, as I crossed over, and I saw them clothed in the garments of a celestial body. They were all clothed in white robes. So the robe that robed the soul is a white robe. The robe that robed them in that theophany is a white robe. The robe that brings the immortal body is a white robe. What is the first robe we receive? The baptism of the Holy Spirit in the soul. Then the theophany, and then you come into the glorified condition. And then you are fully robed for that faith civilization. Right now, we've been robed. If you haven't received the first robe, there's no way to get the second robe. Because only those who are born again by the baptism of the Holy Spirit goes to the theophany. If you're not born again, they have no theophany to go to. Only those in that theophany come and pick up the resurrected body to go to the wedding supper. And friend, it's already started. It's already started. All those saints beyond the curtain of time are already in the white robes, because they had already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they were on the earth. They only have one more white robe to come and pick up. That's the glorified body. But you here,
If you haven't received the Holy Spirit tonight, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to know that that soul is clothed in that white raiment, the wedding garment, the garment of salvation. And then you go to the next white raiment, the garment of a celestial body. This is a terrestrial body, but you have a celestial body as well. That have a different glory to this. It's of a higher order than this body. Can we see that this message is raising us up? When man fell and was trapped in this dimension here, he was locked in a dimensional prison. But the rapture is freeing us from this dimensional prison. Breaks the law of gravitation. And that's why you who are dead is quickening and raise up. That soul raise up to a position. But then it will quick, if the same spirit raised Christ from the dead, dwelling, you to do what? Quicken your mortal bodies. It's real, friend. It's quickened and brought in obedience to the word already. If you are struggling to say the right things, if you are struggling to listen to the right things, if you're still a striker and use your hand to hit, if your feet still walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that body ain't quickened yet. Because that soul ain't quickened yet. The soul controls the spirit and the spirit controls the body. Amen. And if that body's brought something to the word, then you say you already come into a raptured condition. Your body has turned heavenly. You have the earnest of your change inside of you right now. It's a reality, friend. This message, this rapture, this revelation of the rapture, this what is taking place. Don't just say, caught up. See, they was in close contact with the unseen world. They live where they was conscious of it. They walk in it daily. They talk with God. That cloud picked them up. He said the same thing. Those angels are going to come and get you. They'll come and pick you up one of these days. The meeting is over. The convention has become history. 3 months ago, when the pastor was burdened, praying God, who to invite to the meeting, what to do, how to do this. He testified. He said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart twice. Had the two brothers to come. We never even meet each other. Come here. Not to point you back to some historical something, but to walk, keep advancing on in the revealed word. See where you are presently, brethren. And see what our expectations should be. What the crave in our soul is for this present hour. Not just to say, well, we had something over the Easter weekend, a religious program. But if God, like, took us up in a mountain and speak certain things to us to put it in our hearts, and the days to come, when we get back in our homes, when we drive back in our cars, when we get back in our prayer chamber, when we get back before the Lord, when we listen back to the word, when the Spirit brings back to our remembrance, we begin to think, we'll be thousands of miles away from you then. Going back to our home too, but knowing that the Holy Spirit give us space of time, give a few days to drop us in here, to speak these things to you. Brethren, you know if you've heard the word or not. You who have sat and listened, you have walked in the message, you have a desire to see this thing become a reality in your life, you who are looking for the coming of the Lord, you who believe in that coming, to know that if when you leave this meeting, you can go home and walk closer, then it will be worth it all. Sometimes you sit right here and then the tape goes to somebody else and they get a hold of the tape. I mean more to them than you who sat right here. But take the word, brethren, put it in your heart. You may not understand everything right now, but the reason we spoke these things, we were conscious, we're speaking things that you're not fully maybe getting everything, but we are conscious of being taped. You have time to look back at it. That we don't have to come back. If God brings us back, praise God. If we never come back, then the word that have been delivered to you from the prophet's message, from the word of God, then we can know where we are headed. We can know the hour we are living in. We can see how close it is. If God is opening these things, then it means say He's getting us ready to move into it. It has to be preached first. When it's preached, we see it, then we walk into it, then become effective in our life. Amen. And God is opening, unfolding the light so we can walk further, we can walk closer. Let's all stand to our feet. Let there be that real desire in our heart as we close this meeting tonight, that we want to walk that way by God's grace. I thank you for your patience. In a little while, we're going to drink something, eat something, and we're going to feel our strength renewed. We'll forget we're a little tired. But the word that we receive in our heart will remain for us for eternity. Amen. May God open it more and more to you. May the inside teacher teach you further on these things. May the little church in Perth here with the pastor stand behind your pastor. Amen. Support the work. Elder brothers who are real examples of the believers, take up a position, helping to hold up the hands of the man of God, like David with his mighty Gentiles, to bring a clean, fresh drink for the king. That God can have a witness in this part of the world, brethren, that God have gathered us together for a meeting like this, that we can provoke one another to love and good works. Much more we see the approaching. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our gracious Father, the convention has gone into history now, Lord. The meetings have come to a close. We remember, O God, our flying into this country, coming out of the terminal, Lord, and looking to see who had come to pick us up at the airport, looking to see what their face was like. You'd only speak on the phone. Dear God, senior servant, and our eyes, looking into each other's eyes. And dear God, getting into the same vehicle and beginning to drive and speak and coming into his home and sitting in the company of his family, sitting around his table and eating at his table and sleeping in the bed in his room and all these things, dear God, associating together. But Lord, it was all for a purpose. You brought my brother and myself, Lord, from different countries to come here to be with your people. We have tried with deepness of sincerity and humility to deliver the burden of our souls to your waiting children. The word that has been preached, dear God, we would have to give a conch to you for it one day, for what we have preached among your children. As best as we know, dear God, we have preached what Paul preached. We have preached what Malachi 4 preached. Lord, may these be like those that they can say, we are resting on that, Lord. They receive it into their heart, dear God. Coming to stir up their minds and put them into remembrance of what was spoken. As long as we are in this tabernacle, that is the desire we have, Lord, to say what have already been said. To reiterate vigorously the truth that have been delivered by a vindicated prophet. He said, the Spirit and the bride is saying, come, and what she's saying has already been said by the prophet, and what the prophet said was already laid in the word, Lord. May now the inside teacher quicken and make alive these things. Teach us further in these truths, Lord. Dear God, I pray, become spirit and life within our lives. And then we shine forth in a life worthy of this gospel, a life that will reflect Jesus Christ, a life that will be an example to others, Lord, a life that will testify you're not dead, but you're alive. Bless our precious brother Poulter, Lord. May you continue, Lord, to lead him and direct him in the paths of service. Strengthen him, O God, and give him the needed help, O God. Lord, give the brothers a heart full of respect and humility to stand by his side and to labor with him, Lord. Like Paul had his helpers, Lord. Lord, like Peter had his helpers. Oh God, like David has his mighty men and boys had his reapers. Oh God, like Abraham had trained servants in his household. So dear God, you raise up these who would stand by his side, and this little church in this part of the world could be such a living witness, such a testimony of this message, Lord. Displaying the token in this dark hour. Lord, when the power of this church rises, it will pull its brethren, Lord. Oh God, how you long, you promise you long to see a church set in order. Whether they come in the front door or the back door. No sin could stand among the people. The Holy Ghost will call it out. Oh God, everyone in the place, dear God. So we pray, Father, that you would grant this, Lord. Dear God, you just come to cause them to abound, and you would bless them in every way that they have need of you. We thank you for the time you give us, we can associate with them. My precious brother Stephen Francis, Lord. Lord God, you give us this blessed privilege to work together with him here in Australia, dear God. Such a gallant and noble servant of Jesus Christ, a soldier of the cross, Lord. how we can all witness of the humility and the sincerity that we saw displayed in the pulpit, Lord. A prepared servant in action with reverence and humility. Oh, God, may you bless him and his family, dear God. His church, Lord, back there in Newcastle, dear God. And dear God, may you continue, Lord, to bless your people, your bride around this world. We so love and appreciate all the saints we have come to know, all the families represented here, all the different ones that have traveled from near and far, dear God. May, dear God, as we come to the end of these meetings, Father, your most holy and magnificent blessings rest upon us all. And dear God, may your Holy Spirit come to lead us and guide us and keep us ever faithful, that even though we don't have the opportunity to meet each other again in this life, but when that trumpet song, dear God, and the great gathering, that meeting in the air, oh God, and all these earthly meetings will be over. Oh God, we will look across there and see that brother made it, that sister made it. Oh God, we just run and hug that neck again and shake that hand again and say, God bless you. I was looking for you. I'm so glad to see you. Oh God, let it be like that. That we'll see each other in the rapture as we see each other right now around this supper table. Lord, going to go to that other supper table in heaven. We'll see each other again. May you grant it, Lord. We commit each one into your hands, Father. Let your love keep our hearts united. Let your love influence us and keep us faithful in your service. Lord, how we give honor and glory to you tonight. To know, dear God, you saved us. When we were lost and undone, while we were sinners, Lord, you died for us. You opened the fountain. And Lord, you wash us clean and make us a vessel that you can come and dwell in and walk in, dear God, to continue your work upon the face of the earth. How we thank you for these things, Father. Even the hope that we have tried to share this evening, this hope we cherish not in vain. Oh, God, blessed be your wonderful name. We love you and appreciate you. We thank you for all you have done in these services, dear God. May it ever live in the hearts of your people and help them in the days to come.